Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's talk about something far less pleasant, if that's possible, and that is electricity price hikes. Is this going to be a massive problem? Is the electricity, are our costs of electricity going to be going through the roof? And what do we do? What can we expect? Roger Lilly is an energy analyst. Good morning. All the best for 2022. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your show, Howard. Good morning to you and your listeners. Yes, all well on this side. Thank you so much.
Great. So we are looking at a significant increase in electricity prices. What does this mean practically?
Well, I think this was bound to happen, Howard, because for years now, NERSA has refused to give Eskom the required increases that it has requested. And so this has been building up and up and up. The situation now is that Eskom says that what it costs to purchase electricity from independent power producers, what it costs to buy coal from coal producers, has increased significantly, and the organization simply cannot survive on the revenue that it receives from the sale of electricity alone. And therefore it has to depend on government bailouts, which are also very unpopular.
But when we look at some of the information in terms of the reduction of debt that Eskom is very proud of over the last year, doesn't that mean that things have improved and that they are managing?
Well, you know, you can only spend the same rand once. So, you know, what money they're spending on paying the interest and capital repayment on their debt means they cannot then spend on improving their equipment or, working on new projects. Now, one of the big projects that Eskom is going to be working on this year is the refurbishment of the Kooberg nuclear power plant down in Cape Town. That's likely to cost many, many billions of rand and take at least 10 months of work. So someone has to pay for that. And unfortunately, in an economy like ours, a free market economy, the user pays. Now, Eskom has a double-edged sword in this case because, on the one hand, it cannot supply all the electricity that the country needs because of failing equipment. But on the other hand, the country is now moving away to get independent power from other sources, such as rooftop solar and so on. So the utility finds itself in a bit of a dilemma. It needs to sell as much electricity as possible to get the revenue it needs, but it can't supply all. So it sees a lot of its market being lost. In fact, what I've noticed over the last few weeks is that the average demand on a daily basis has fallen from around 30,000 megawatts to about 27,000 megawatts. So we're talking about a 10% reduction. Now, we know that it's summer and a lot of people are not using the same amount of electricity as they do in winter to heat their homes and so on. But I think the situation points to the fact that Eskom needs a certain amount of revenue income every day or every month in order to survive and meet its commitments. So the reality, I think, is that we're going to see firstly, I think we're going to see a large increase in the tariff. We have to wait until the 25th of February before NERSA will announce what that's going to be. But I know that figures in the 20% average are being thrown around, so we'll just have to see what that is. One possibility.
So we don't have any sense at this stage of exactly what that will.
We know what Eskom has applied for, but you know, Eskom's application is in two parts because NERSA allows Eskom to make a prediction of what its costs are going to be for the upcoming year.
There we go. Now I can hear you again.
Sorry. Eskom is allowed by NERSA to make a projection as to what its costs for the coming year are likely to be. And at the end of that year, to look back and say, well, we made a mistake by X percent. And we spent more than we, or it cost us more than we thought it would cost, or it cost us less than we thought it would cost. And so there's an adjustment available. Now, because NERSA has been limiting the increases year on year on year, that adjustment is larger and larger every year, because the reality is, even though NERSA don't believe it, Eskom needs the money that it puts forward. So there's an issue here in that NERSA simply refuses to believe what Eskom claims is legitimate expenditure.
That's so interesting in the way in which you're putting it. Is there a credibility issue? Because that's really what NERSA is saying. If they are saying they refuse, if you're saying they refuse to believe it, does that mean that NERSA doesn't accept the credibility of anything that Eskom is saying?
Well, that's what it appears to be, because Eskom has to submit a very complicated document to NERSA explaining in high detail exactly what the money is going to be spent on. Now, we can do this in budgeting, but, you know, it's very difficult to be 100% accurate. But then NERSA goes through that list, and then they say, no, this line here, that shouldn't be there. So they just pencil it out. And they carry on through the document like that, and then they come to a different figure at the end, make a projection, and they say, there you are, you can have this percentage increase instead of the percentage that you'd requested. In the most recent case, Eskom had to take NERSA to court to get this sorted out. That is ridiculous. I mean, why should a state-owned entity have to take a state-owned regulator to the court to get this?
Amazing.
This is totally ridiculous.
It's really fascinating, though, because it actually just shows you how even this relationship has deteriorated, and it's all about credibility.
Yeah. It is about that. What we can do about it. I mean, the second half of this question always has to be, what are we as electricity users going to do about this?
Exactly. That's where I was going with that, because, and what about independent producers? You know, is that an option over the next couple of months? Do we need to start relooking at our own sustainable power within our own homes, etc.? What's your thoughts on all of that? What do we do?
The most cost-effective way is to reduce your demand of electricity. So you should rather cook on gas rather than electricity, have a solar geyser on your roof instead of an electric geyser, or a combination, because solar geysers have still an electric element in them, but the element is used less frequently, so you draw less electricity this way. And try to limit the amount of time that your pool pump is running to maybe 1 hour a week instead of 1 hour a day. Things like that will help us save a lot of money in terms of our electricity costs. So to me, I think the user has the whip hand here, because the user can regulate how much electricity they're going to use, and in that way can adjust their own financial costs accordingly.
And in terms of independent producers, are we seeing any progress in that regard?
You see, if you can have a big enough solar plant, then you start to get economy of scale. For you and I to put a solar setup on the roof of our house, it requires a large capital expenditure, and will take a long time to pay off
to pay it back
in electricity that you're going to be getting from it. But if you're doing it corporately, like in a shopping mall or in a housing estate, I've often said that housing estates, these security estates, should put solar panels on every one of the units and pool all that electricity into a single system, so that everybody is then metered in the usual way. But they're not paying Eskom; they're paying for the electricity that comes off the sun. However, you still need a connection to the electricity supply from the local municipality or directly from Eskom, because if you have 3 or 4 days of cloudy weather, then your solar panels are not going to give you the power you need, and your batteries are going to run flat, and nobody will have any electricity in their houses. So that wouldn't do it.
Right. Absolutely. But this is something that people need to start looking at and taking a lot more seriously.